It's a word that God has given me. Very distinctive. God has been speaking to me today, and He's been speaking to me about focus. Everybody say that word, focus. And I don't have a complete word on what God has been speaking to me about, but let me read this to you. It's out of what we've been reading, out of sowing and reaping, and the Lord began to share with me tonight out of Mark. I even have it circled. I still didn't see it, so it's lack of focus. In verse 26 of chapter 4, in fact, it was one of the first scriptures when I began the series on sowing and reaping, the law. We were talking about the principles of the kingdom. That's what we've been ministering on since January, and we finished a couple of messages, but this is what we've been ministering on consistently, the principles of the kingdom, and this principle of the law of sowing and reaping, the law of seed, time, and harvest. I guess this would fit into the middle, which is time. And here in verse 26, and He said, so is the kingdom of God. So He says here, this is likened unto what? This parable is likened unto what? No, ma'am, that's not what it says. Look at it again. And He said, so is the kingdom of God is likened unto... So this parable is likened unto what? The kingdom of God. That's what it's likened unto. So when we're reading the parable here, He said, this is what's going on in the kingdom. Amen? This is what's going on in the kingdom and how to live, how to exist, and how to be blessed in the kingdom. He says, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, here He switches from Mark, where He begins in Mark 14. In Mark, the first part of the letter there, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 3, He talks about our life as a garden. Amen? And there He tells us that the sower soweth the word. We know that it's God sowing here in this portion of Scripture. But here in verse 26, it's not the Lord sowing, but who is sowing? So He switches from the responsibility of the Lord sowing into our life, okay? And we've been talking, and hopefully I'll get to it tonight, but we have been ministering on what is the Lord's part in ministering to us, in Him sowing into our life and the results of it, right? And so He's talking about that, but here in verse 26, He switches and He talks about us sowing seed. How many hears it? You can relate it to in the context of a prayer that you've prayed, of something that you're believing God for. Just in the case of Mackenzie in sickness. And it's fine. One day, and then 2 days, then 3 days, then 4 days. And so what happens is that it begins to wear on us because you're not in a positive place when you're in a hospital. You're not surrounded by positive people. Doctors aren't created to be positive. They're scientists. They are created to tell the facts, to present to us the scenarios. Doctors even hate to give percentages because they come close. They guess. That's why it's called a practice. Amen. They have a practice because they never perfect it. It's a science. Science is never perfect. There's only one thing that is perfect, and that is God and the seed of God that is in us. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God. What we have to realize is we have to realize the promise that whatever word that we speak out of our mouth, if it is the word of God and the will of God, that it will accomplish in that which we've sent it to do. We never can lose. Amen. When Grayson was sick, We realize that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We had to rejoice in the day that we have. Faith is not something that you store up. It's like manna. It's only good for the day that is provided for you. Faith is not something that you can store up and say, you know, I've had a good run. Now I can store up some faith. And so, you know, I can sit back and I can relax. That's not what faith is. Faith is not now faith. Now faith is. Now faith is the substance. Now. Present tense. Faith is always in the present tense. Faith is never in the past. It's never in the future. Amen. The only way that what faith does is faith reaches into the future and pulls it to the present. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things in the future that I'm hoping for, and I bring it into the now. Amen? Because whatever you're believing for, it's not as you have it now. You're believing for it to come to you. And so what faith does is faith reaches out and brings it to you, amen, into your spirit. It first must materialize in your spirit. Amen. Let's back up a little bit. It must first begin in hope in your mind. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith always begins in the soul. It begins in the will, the emotions, the intellect. So it begins with a dream. It begins with something that you're looking to. Amen. Before it can become real, it must consummate with your spirit. It must consummate with your spirit. It must join with your spirit to reach out to bring that which is in the future to what's now, because it's not real now. And the only way that it's real is in the spirit, because God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And He is the author of the beginning and the end of my faith, so He knows the end of my faith. And what I need now is, I don't need the beginning of my faith. I'm in the beginning of my faith. I'm in the beginning of that trial. I need the end of my faith. Amen? So I'm calling those things that are not as what? As though they were. And so what happens is that when I sow a seed, when I sow the seed of faith and I sow the seed to it, I sow the seed, amen? It's easy to sow seed. Amen? Because you can wrap yourself around that. Your mind can wrap around sowing. It's material. You're casting it out. If it's money, you know, you're cutting off the bills. You know, you're paying tithes, you're offering. You're giving to benevolence. You're giving to somebody, right? And so it's easy to sow seed. That's not the problem. The problem is not the harvest. We all enjoy the harvest. The harvest becomes physical. It is the result of our faith reaching out and bringing it in to our now. How many hears me? Is everybody still following me?
Yes.
And so what the problem is not the seed, not the harvest. The problem is the time. Because when you sow the seed of faith, what happens is this. And look with me. Everybody with me? Come on, look in your Bible. And if a man should cast seed into the ground, look what it says, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, look what it says there, and he knoweth not how. Look at somebody and say, I don't know how it's going to happen. Amen? But you've got to realize that when you sow seed and you're sowing seed and you're out there sowing seed and you're fighting the fight of faith, because that's the only fight that we should be in, because our fight is not against flesh and blood. Amen. So if we're not careful, what will happen is that we'll get all involved in fleshly fights, fleshly warring. And that's why that some people have given up the faith. That's why that he said that that's in Galatians, what is it? 6, right? 6, 7 through 10, I believe, right? He said, in due season, if you what? Faint not. Because what happens when you are sowing? You become weary. If you don't be weary in well-doing, but in due season, if you faint not, you will reap. So there is a key to reaping, isn't there? There's a key to reaping. The man sowed the seed, and what is the next thing that happened? He went to sleep. Amen? Because sowing sometimes can be hard on the flesh. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because we don't have our glorified bodies yet. Because you got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Amen? I said you got to get up and go to work tomorrow. I said you got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Well, don't look at me like I don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it is to get up. I know what it is to get up. Do you hear me? I know what it is to get up early and work 12, 16 hours a day. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to run 6, 7 days a week. I know what it is to deal with exhausting problems day after day. I used to deal with so many problems, I had to keep extra batteries because I would run my batteries dry. Because I would handle problems all the time. I never let it go to voicemail. I took every message. I dealt with every problem. Your body becomes tired. Amen? Amen? How many's ever drove a long distance and you went a long time without sleeping? How many's ever done that before? Amen? How many has ever hallucinated when you were driving? Anybody ever done that? I have. Amen. I think they call it the black dog or the red dog. It's one of those things, man. Amen. Not the hair of the dog. I know a few of you are familiar with that. But the point of it is that what happens is when the mind becomes weary and it begins to lose focus, it begins to hallucinate. Amen. We did it one time coming from Oklahoma. Transmission, my Chevrolet Caprice, the transmission. Remember that trip? And so we were afraid to stop because we didn't know if the car would ever run again. So we were coming back from a camp meeting out in Oklahoma and hadn't had any sleep. And all of a sudden, I started hallucinating. Because the mind becomes really tired. Well, it's no different when you are walking the walk of faith. Amen. This is a walk. The just shall live, shall walk by faith. Why is it, Pastor, if we're walking by faith that we become tired and weary? Because you're not in a glorified body. And that's why that Paul told us in Romans that there is a warfare always between your flesh and your spirit. And so you have to maintain that. You have to discern that. Because what happens when you are sowing seeds and you are looking for the harvest, you're rising day and night because of why? Because you want it to happen. You want the harvest to happen. You're believing God for that answer. You need that answer. I'm not talking about pain. I'm talking about sowing seed. Things that you're really believing God for. And so when that happens and you become it in that, what happens is this, is that you're getting up day and night. You're trying, what's going on here? You know, you're looking for some evidence. You want some relief. You want some hope. You want something to grab a hold of. Come on, how many knows that's our tendency? I just need something. I just need something to hold on to. But what I want you to understand here that happens, what I want you to understand here that happens is this, and he knoweth not how. That is where the line where we begin to become weary because we don't know how God's going to do it. If you're writing notes, if you're writing in your Bible and you believe in it's not sacrilegious, here's what I would put on the no, not, not, how. Here's what you put beside it. It's called trust. That's what's going on. You're learning to trust God. You sowed the seed. Amen. You watered it. But Paul said, some seed, some water, but God giveth the increase. See, the increase is not up to us. This is not up to us. This is up to God. Amen? And I know we like being in charge. We like being in control. We want to control the whole process. You know, we want that spiritual GMOs. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? That genetically manufactured seed. We want, you know, that super seed. We want to be able to have something that supersedes faith. That's where we began to get into trouble. When we began to listen and heed voices and heed our own voice, instead of consistently listen, what happens? We become weary in well-doing. But He promises. See, the harvest belongs to the persevering one. If you faint not. If you faint not, you shall, if you faint not. How many's had the vapors? There's a word. Some of the young ones are looking like, what the heck is a vapor? You mean that thing comes out of the machine, Pastor? That's an old Southern term. Amen? It means to be faint, to faint away. Amen? How many's ever had some fainting spells in your walk with God? Sure you have. I have. Some of them last a few days. Some of them have lasted for weeks. And some of them have lasted for... Amen? It's all simple. See, Samson made the final mistake. You know what his final downfall was? See, he had the calling. He had the anointing. But you know what happened to Samson was one thing. It was Delilah, Pastor. No, it wasn't Delilah. It was his weariness. He became tired because he was living in his own strength and he was living in his presumptuous spirit. His presumptuousness got him into trouble because he always said, it'll always be there. The anointing will always be there. The gift will always be there. Well, Pastor, I thought the gifts and callings of God without repentance. They are. But I want you to know something is this. The level of the power for those gifts and those anointings will leave you if you allow sin to come into your life. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm not talking about fornication. I'm not talking about the sins of the flesh. I'm talking about the sins of iniquity. I'm talking about presumptuousness. I'm talking about presuming that God's going to be there. And the Lord began to speak to me and said this word to me. Said it to me first. Because I tell you what, I really, and just to be honest with you tonight, is that I think all of you have been here enough and you've seen how that we have lived. It's to build here, to move, to constantly go, to do, because we're trying to build something here. And it's week after week. And it's not because others cannot preach, but God's mantle is upon me right now. That day will come to where that God will have something else for me to do. But right now, His favor is on me. That's not bragging. That's just how it is right now. And what we have to be careful about, and what I have to be careful about, is that when I become tired, as long as I have a big project in front of me, as long as I have a big project, when I'm handling, making decisions, and moving things along, and seeing things progress, I'm great. Amen? I'm great. But I have to be careful, because what happens is, and it happens to me every time in December is we have to take a break because we have to honor Christmas. Not the real Christmas, people's Christmas and the holidays. Because God forbid that we'd ever change that. God forbid that we'd ever interrupt somebody's trip to Myrtle Beach. God forbid that we'd ever interrupt anything of that nature. And don't get me wrong. I'm telling you now, I'm going on a vacation in March. So I don't have a problem with that. Amen? But that's not what I'm saying. But it happens to me every time. And then what happens is I'm driving down the road at 70 miles an hour in that project, and all of a sudden everything stops. And there's nothing I can do about it. And it's hard for me, she'll tell you. And during that time, I become really disenchanted. I become very dissatisfied. You know, after a while, it's cool. 2 or 3 days, you know, whoo, this is really nice. But man, that fourth day comes rolling around. I'm like, Jesus. I start looking for stuff to do. She'll tell you. I mean, I know that I drive her nuts all the time because I'm always doing a project. I mean, not only was I doing stuff here, I'm doing projects at the house all the time. Getting things done, getting projects done, getting things done constantly. That's my life. That's what I've always been. So when it stops, I find what happens is I begin. Then when we try to restart the big engine again, amen? It's like the old 64 Ford that I dated Karen in. I dated her in a 1954. We started in a 1954 Ford. And then we went to a 1964 Ford. And that old Ford was a dependable car. It was a great car. But that was the coldest blooded thing that ever God created through Ford. You had to literally almost pump your foot off of your ankle to get that thing started. You had to get in there, man, and you had to just pump that thing, and then keep that ignition on, and then pump, and then finally, that Ford would start. And when it started, it ran all day, but man, when it set, for some reason, it was almost impossible to get started. So when I try to start again, I notice something. I'm getting to a point tonight, and I think God's going to give me a word about this to the church. I realize I find it difficult to keep my focus. I find that mild depression begins to set in. I become tired. I can't get enough sleep. Even through the fast this time. I mean, I fasted but it was, I told Karen, it was the hardest fast that I've had times, man, just struggled in my flesh and struggled with mild depression that came in. It's a part of the anointing anyways. If you have any kind of gift in your life, you're going to deal with depression. It comes in and it's not invited. It's not even necessarily something that you do wrong. It's just something that wants to seep in, but have mild depression sets in, and then all of a sudden you begin, it's difficult to keep your focus. You pop your head up, you try to reevaluate. The anointing is always strong and moves in my life when I'm preaching, I'm teaching. I'm fine as long as I'm in this anointing. That's why I hate saying goodbye on Sundays. You know, I know some people are like, whoo, we're done. You know, we punched our ticket. We don't have to come back to next week. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think about some people just, whoo, you know, we put our, yay, God, we're here. You know, they got like a little card at work, you know, and I can hear it, you know, hit the inside of that clock. Right? I know I'm being facetious. And that's something else, too, that I notice, is that when I'm like that, that my facetiousness gets worse. It's already a part of my ministry, but if I'm not careful, that facetiousness even gets worse. And then it's not facetious anymore. It's just, I'm being ugly to you because I'm trying to make a point to you, but, you know, I'm being passive-aggressive. Facetiousness can go into passive-aggressiveness real quick. I'm trying to tell you something, but, you know, I can't directly look in your eye and think, you know what, you need to get your act together. Amen? I tell people all the time, thank God these screens can't show what I think. And it's not because I hate or because I don't love the people. It's not that. It's just that when you are consumed by a passion, amen, you're consumed by a vision. You see it in people's lives and you so desperately want them to hear, to walk in faith, walk in the Word of God. Look in your Bible, book after book. Paul's frustration because the people were not walking out the Word. They weren't walking out the fulfillment of the Word. They weren't walking out faith in their life. This past week, Galatians. Oh, you crazy Galatians. What has bewitched you? You know? What has bewitched you that you began so well in the Spirit, but now you are living in regulations and law? They had lost their focus. I couldn't see that before until I saw the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit began to say to me. And the Lord began to speak to me tonight and says, that's what's wrong. That's why that we can come and be packed. And the Holy Ghost moved like it did a few weeks ago. And startling move of God. Just startling. Just absolutely heavy anointing. And come back the following week and it's like, did people like go home and like, whoop, that's enough of God. that's enough. Got the tank filled. I don't want to get too much of that. Lord knows. I don't want to be twirling up front and falling on the floor. If that's what happens if you get too much God. No. I don't want to get crazy about this thing. Let's come on Sundays. Let's do this. I'm thinking, man, some people are going to listen to this message and they're like, And they are not going to call me. I don't care. I love you, and you know this is the truth. Are you hearing me? And God spoke to me and said this word to me. My people become weary, and they lose their focus. We don't realize it's an attack of the enemy. And then what happens, it takes us out of love. It takes us out of love, and then we stop operating in love because faith operates by love. It doesn't operate by your emotions. Faith operates by love. And you know it, and I know it, when we are no longer walking in love. Amen? Some of us, we manifest in different ways. For me, I start to get mean. Maybe never know it and never sense it. But I can feel a difference come over me. An irritation, a low-grade irritation, and a lack of patience. I'm just being honest with you tonight. I'm trying to share with you the word of the Lord. Amen? How many thinks that we're on to something here? Say, Pastor, you described me in so many ways. Lose my focus and my desire wanes. Amen? Some of you are not there yet, but it's okay. He said in Revelation, he said, I would that you neither be. Amen? And we fall into that lukewarm place. It's a comfortable place. Amen? She likes lukewarm showers. She's cool with cooler showers. Okay? Amen? I like a hot shower. I like when I walk in and the shower hits me. If I can't scream, I don't think it's hot enough. Amen? I need that hot water. And I heat my shower now because before my shower was the kind of shower you could get in and it would beat you up a little bit.
You know, hit those muscles. You know what I mean? Just beat you around, throw you around in the shower. But now it's a passive shower. We had to have it changed because they had to do whatever the stuff inside they had to do. You know, and we're trying to tell the plumber that changed it, you know, that it's not like it was before. Well, I don't know what it's same. It's a shower, and it seems like it's got plenty of pressure here. But it's not the same shower. How do you explain that to somebody? See, let me show you. This is how the shower was. This is how it is now. Amen? But what happens is that lukewarmness is there because it's comfortable. It's safe. It's warm. But what God wants us to be is neither hot nor cold. God doesn't want us to be. He wants us to be. It's not that God says, I want you to be cold. But God doesn't want us to be indifferent. That's what he's saying there. He's not saying, oh, I'm happy as long as you're hot or cold. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, I don't want you to be indifferent. And what happens in weariness, what happens when we begin to lose our focus, is that we fall into passivity. We fall into compromise. We fall into lethargy. We begin to believe it's okay to step out. When does someone in the ranks of an army look at his commanding officer and say to him as he walks into the barracks and says, everybody up? And he looks at his sergeant and says to his sergeant, you know, I'm taking a break today. We're the army of the Lord. And I understand the reality of it. It's because that we live in a society of lukewarmness. We live in a society in the church today because we think we work so hard and we deserve a break. We deserve that. And I agree with you. We need to take times of rest. Jesus did constantly as he would go. But I want you to understand, the rest was not rest in his body. He would rest in prayer. We miss the mark sometimes in not understanding. But the point I want to make to you tonight is this, is that when we begin to lose our focus, we begin to lose the ability to believe that the harvest is going to come. It is an attack. It is a subtle attack. It's a low-grade attack of the enemy to move in. And some people never recover. And some people it has dramatic effects on, and it takes them a long time to keep coming back over and over again. See, we should take notice. If anything is a pattern in our life, we have to ask ourselves, if a night's sleep or a couple of nights' sleep doesn't do it, there's something going on here. A tiredness beyond the tiredness of a little bit of sleep loss. The body becoming weary. The fact of lost focus. The low-grade depression now turns into no longer low-grade. Now it is, I just don't want to be around people. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? It's a dangerous commodity. And he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Can I tell you tonight is this, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. I want you to notice here that there is a what? There is a process in time. Amen? We mark ourselves by Chronos. Are you hearing me? But that's not the issue. The issue is the kairos time of the stalk, the ear, the corn. See, there is a kairos, there is a season that God appoints in your chronos time. Are you listening? See, there is a kairos, a season. Amen. There is a season. Ecclesiastes tells us there is a time and a season for everything. It is the ability to discern that. I said to somebody the other day, and they were saying to me, and I could see it, and it was a hard word that I had to give them, not here, it was another pastor. And he was constantly just struggling. The church that he is pastoring struggles all the time. And he is a very capable minister, very educated, articulate, great musician. But the problem is their church struggles all the time, and the reason why is because they're going through a winter season in their life, and God is trying to awaken them to be prepared for the spring that is coming to their life. But if they're not careful, what will happen is that they will hunker down in that winter season, and all of a sudden, now years have passed, and the winter of their discontent has never passed. It has now become a way of life. Amen? Because in their winter, their I don't know how God is going to do it becomes their mantra. It becomes the thing that plagues their thinking. Well, how can God do this? This looks impossible. How is God going to perform this? I don't know how, but I do know this, that there is a process. Look at here again. Amen. For the earth bringeth forth fruit. What are you made of? What are you made of? You're made of earth. You're sowing seeds into your life. Seeds have been sowed into your life. Others have sowed seeds in your life. I wonder how many people realize that every time that we come to the house of God, I told somebody not too long ago, is that they need to realize this is not just any place. This is a fivefold church. This is an apostolic calling and ministry here in this church. And the words that are received is not, can we get something convenient? Yeah, my flesh can pull out. I can do the finger pointing thing, open my Bible and point down. I can almost take any scripture and teach it. But convenience is not what we're after here. What we're after is, what is God saying to us? How do we move this thing along? How, if we need to wait, how do I learn to wait? Because if I will learn to wait upon the Lord, I will renew my strength. And I will mount up as on the wings of an eagle. And I will run and not be, and I will walk and not faint. That's the way of faith. But if I am running and I am being wearied, and if I am walking and I am fainting, then I am not waiting. Just play the record backwards. Amen? Just play the record backwards. I'm not waiting. I don't know how to wait. Amen? See, that's my issue sometimes. My issue is, I don't like to wait. Don't like to wait for lights. I do it because it's a discipline. I hate going and picking the kids up from school. I hate to get in a line. I hate to follow somebody else. It's against my nature. I don't want the horse that has his nose stuck in the rear end of the horse in front of him. That's not me. I want the beast to ride. I want to live on the edge of death. I want to face it. I want to look in the eyes of it. But if we're not careful, we'll lose that sense of adventure. We'll lose that sense of our faith walk. Because the just shall live by faith. And if we are not living by faith, then what happens is this, is that we are living in our flesh. And if we are living in our flesh, then what happens? We look at the seed and the field that we have planted, and we want to know, why has it not come up yet? Because it's not time. Because it's not time. Because he has to complete the first stage of the faith in our life. He has to complete that first stage. You may not even been germinated yet. You may not even be open, but there are things that's going on in your darkest time. Realize this, that in your darkest moments is when growth is happening, even though you cannot see it. And in your depression, in the darkest times of your life, your flesh may be struggling, but the God of the universe, the sovereign Lord of this world, the sovereign Lord Yahweh, is still working on the inside of you. He has not quit. He has not went on strike. He has not given up and thrown his hands up and say, I'm done with this project. God is still at work in you. And even though you cannot see it by your flesh, I want you to know something. Be careful that you do not forsake and persevere. For in due season, in divine, there's a divine season. The Bible says that David sought the Lord for the due time, the due season, because when he tried to bring in the presence of God on a new cart, an oxen, death happened. Then he sought the due season of God. Amen. You're going to have to go back and listen to this again. Something here that God is saying to you. There's no way. Listen, you can't always get. You've got to receive things by the Spirit. Amen. You've got to receive it by the Spirit. Let it take seed and let God birth it. You've got to go back here to Mark 4 and you've got to read this again until it begins to come alive in your life. Why is it that there's a pattern? Why does the same thing happen over and over again? Why do I continue to go through that same cycle? Amen? Why is that? Well, because a part of the harvest is upon us. That when we have seeded before the harvest, there is time, and in the time frame, God is doing something. God is saying something. God is doing something in us. Amen? He's given us the ability. It's trust. It's trust. God's trying to build trust. Amen? How many knows God's trying to build trust in us? Amen? Sometimes we've had more faith in our water faucet than we have in the Word. When's the last time you questioned when you put your cup or your pot underneath that faucet to get water? You don't question it. When's the last time that you walked in your house and hit the switch and then stood there right before you hit the switch and said, ooh, I pray. Now, there's been times in my life because financially where I was, I did pray before I turned on the lights. Amen. Someone I'm talking about. Most of us tonight, some of us might, but most of us will go out to the parking lot and put a key into our car and turn the ignition and not think about it twice. We believe the car's going to start. But God says something to our life. God gives us a promise. He speaks to us, sows a seed into our life. God's not McDonald's. You can't seed at this end and then drive around the corner and pick up your bag of blessing. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? But that's the way that we are, that's the way our culture thinks. We have a microwavable culture. We have a culture that instant gratification. But I want to say to you is this. Is faith is delayed gratification. Because God is building something in you, and when you harvest, this is something I haven't even got into. God is teaching us not only in time to believe for the harvest, but God is trying to teach you how to handle the harvest that's going to come your way. Amen? How do we break it?
How do we reverse the curse? Well, first of all, we believe that we have been freed from the curse of the law. And you can't believe the lie that's been told to you that you're not going to harvest. Amen? That it's not going to happen. Amen? We've been having a cascade of blessing here for weeks. And this last week, as I have been ministering on this, was the worst offering that we've had in months. And what did you do, Pastor? I didn't do anything. It's not my business. Amen? You know, I was in a church. This is the truth. I'm going to tell you a true story. I was in a church. It was an associate ministry. And the senior pastor would make us call people. He would come after church. And he would see who tithed and who didn't tithe. And if they weren't there, you had to ringy-dingy and say, why weren't you here? We need this tithe or we can't make it. It was awful. Did you do it? Well, sure I did it. Because that was the order that I was in at the time. But did I learn? Absolutely. I learned that it's not my business. The increase is not my business. Are you hearing me? See, increase is not my business. If I get into the increase part, if I get into that part about increase, then what happens? I begin to take control. See, and I know that it's a fluke. I know that it's just something that what happens is people get over into their flesh. I understand that part of it. But see, what people don't understand is that the consistency to come out of anything in our life financially is not going to happen. Tithes is nothing for me. I don't even think about tithes. I don't even know what we give. I don't even know what the percentage that we give. It's so above, I don't even know. We're probably, I don't know, I don't even want to guess. I just sometimes hear gasps from the office after I've had a giving time from Pastor Karen. But she said, God, Mark, you see how much? The other day she said, Mark, do you see how much we're giving? It surprised her how much we have been giving, you know, here. We tithe up, we tithe to our bishop, but how many knows that we give into this house offerings? Why? Well, how am I going to make it? This is a faith walk. Amen? You can't have that many people in the house and us helping as many people as we can. You can't do that if you don't give. I understand the principle of giving. I understand about sowing. And I understand about time. And we have to learn to know that in time, God will bring the harvest. Amen? I don't know how, but I know Him who's going to do it. Amen? And that's what I want to leave you with tonight. Well, did you get something from the Word tonight?